on his word at hand, touched by thee, can you play that one? Jesus set me free for all eternity. And the Lord bless each one tonight. Praise God. Each and every one. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight. We want to read two scriptures, one from Jeremiah chapter 1 and one from Malachi 3. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let us read from verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1, and we thank the Lord for the Word of God. Praise God. Yeah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, and over the kingdoms to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
Amen.
Praise God. That means God will do it quickly.
All right.
Let's turn to Malachi. And we're turning to Malachi 3. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3. And let's read verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not.
Glory.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Praise God. Let us bow for a word of prayer again this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can draw from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way of the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses us and washes us whiter than the very snow. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, we pray. Wash us with your word, Lord, and we shall be clean. Father, this evening we thank you for your word is truth. We thank you for the finished work of our Savior on the cross. Lord, this evening I bring before you this wee child that is Sister Carol's mansion. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ you'll touch her. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ you'll make her whole. Lord, that you'll put your hand upon her and heal her. In Jesus' precious name. Father, for others suffering colds and flus at this time with this changeable weather, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus you'll touch them.
Amen.
And I pray you'll make them feel good. Lord, I rebuke the east wind. It's stinking and it's cold. I rebuke it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, you'll rid us of east wind here for a while. Give us some heat in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray this evening you'll open our ears that we'll hear your word and your spirit speaking to us. Pray you bless everyone in this room tonight and strengthen them and undertake for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that's been already prayed, we do say amen.
Amen.
Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I don't know why I prayed that about the wind, but it's come out. But it's been prayed. I hate east winds. Did you know a man said to me one day, a farmer, and her brother John probably knows this statement straight. He said, an east wind is no good for man or beast. Cuts through you, doesn't it? Cuts clean through you. I tell you, the Lord needs to rid us of it. South wind would do, wouldn't it? It brings the heat. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless each one tonight, and I want to speak about someone that I've preached on before several times, and I'm making no apologies for that. I felt led just to bring this tonight. And I said here, I don't want to be preaching her brother Charlie too much. He's really come for a break. And he wants, you know, when you're a pastor and you're preaching all the time, you need a break sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a break, isn't it? But I want to talk about God resuming full and total responsibility at Calvary.
Right.
God took back control at the cross. He took it back. The devil was running riot. Man was fallen in sin. There was no hope. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ at the cross paid the price. And God resumed back full and total responsibility of the devil. Jesus paid the price. Brother Branham said, not death, Calvary. The price was paid. We heard this morning, we were always in him. He knew us. But the price was paid for us at the cross.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit works in man. And the Holy Spirit works in woman. And the Holy Spirit strives through us to bring us to the saving knowledge of the truth. And God took responsibility at the cross. This word responsibility means the state or the fact of being responsible, accountable as for something in one's power. And God is a responsible God. He's responsible for his word. Therefore, he keeps his word. We read that God keeps his own word. God won't keep a word that's not his word. He won't keep a hybrid word. He won't keep a mingled word. God is not responsible to watch that word. God is not responsible to bring that word to pass. But God will keep his real word.
Amen.
God will watch that word. And the word of God will go forth in power. And God will watch that word. Praise God. We must also be responsible to each other and to God. So we must not change God's word. We can't change God's word. There's people today saying we don't need a fivefold ministry. They've changed God's word. The Bible says in Ephesians there's a fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints.
Amen.
To be coming to the unity of the perfect body of Jesus Christ, ready for the catching away, the rapture.
Glory.
So we need a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Now imagine tonight you told the evangelist of the fivefold ministry, stop winning souls.
Right.
You'd be stopped with the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
An evangelist cannot be an evangelist. If he's not a soul winner, he's not an evangelist.
Right.
An evangelist is a man that wins souls.
Glory.
You know, is it powerful
that the angel of the Lord told the prophet of God, do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
Make full proof of your ministry. And when he put the cornerstone in the wee church they built, he laid the statement in there that God told him,
glory,
do the work of an evangelist. Praise God.
Right.
He didn't say you are an evangelist, but he said do the work of it.
Yes.
And I think that's something that every preacher should take on board.
Amen.
Even if you're not an evangelist, do a bit of evangelistic work.
Amen.
He didn't have to say that.
Amen.
That's what the prophet of God did.
Glory.
He won souls, you know.
Amen.
3,000, wasn't it? There was a 30,000 converted in India. One altar call.
Amen.
He won souls.
Amen.
Praise God. And I tell you, the fivefold ministry set in here for God's purpose. So God is responsible for his word, but God's not responsible for something that some man thinks. It's God's word. So if a man stands up and says, we don't need the fivefold ministry, he has changed God's word. If he says there's something in this book that we don't need, that God has put here, he's changed God's word. If you listen to the message called Seed of the Scrap and Say, I tell you, Brother Branham preaches that message hard. And he calls a lot of things Seed of the Scrap and Say that would shock a lot of people, but he does it because it's not really God's way. It's not right.
Amen.
Must be according to the word of God.
Amen.
And when we have it according to the word of God, God will back it.
Amen.
God will stand over it. God will watch his word. God will perform his word.
Amen.
For Jeremiah says he keeps an eye on his word. That means that God's standing watching over his word and he's bringing it to pass.
Amen.
And you know, the day you got saved, that was part of this word coming to pass.
Amen.
The day you got saved, that was God watching over his own word. Isn't that right?
Amen.
God performing his word because he's responsible.
Right.
So God's responsible, and we as the children of God, we must be responsible.
Amen.
It's like even coming to church. If everybody said we'll not have church, we wouldn't have church, what would we do with ourselves? The Bible says we're to gather often as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
Some people say we don't need to take communion no more. We're in the millennium reign. Well, that's not the scripture.
Right.
We heard a brother Charlie saying this morning, we're still waiting for a body change.
Amen.
We're still here.
Amen.
We're waiting for these bodies to be changed.
All right.
For the Lord to change us.
Amen.
For the Lord to take us.
Right.
And while we're waiting, we still need to do communion.
Amen.
Yeah. But we do it as remembering the Lord.
Glory.
Amen. For what he done for us at the cross. Praise God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. God is responsible for his word, therefore he'll keep his word. And we must also be responsible. God will not respond to a changed word or a broken promise. It must always be according to his word. Then he will be responsible for it. So when we preach the true word of God, God will be responsible to that word. We can't save, we can't heal, but when we preach the truth, God has promised he'll back it up.
Amen.
Says in Mark 16, he will lay hands on the sick, they'll recover.
Amen.
He says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Glory.
That's how you get saved. You get saved by calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
There's no other way. There's only one way. Remember, I preached some weeks back. I preached a load of times on it. God's only provided way. How many remembers that? What is God's only provided way? It's not, like we heard this morning, it's not a name of a lodge here or a lodge over there. That's not it. God's provided way is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God placed his name in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And God's chosen place of worship is where he's placed his name. And he placed his name in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible promises that God is in the midst. And it says more on that to bless.
Right.
So we're gathered tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can expect God to bless us.
Amen.
Because we're gathered in God's chosen place of worship.
Amen.
It could be under a tree in the field. There's no building in particular that it's referring to. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're gathering of the people.
Amen.
Will be in his name. Praise God. So he's responsible to God. It must always be according to his word. Then he is responsible for it. When it's according to his word. Look at Hebrews 6. And you know I love the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
Hebrews 6 verse 13 and 14. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God swear by himself. Listen to this verse 14. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Praise God. So we see the blessing, and we see the multiplying. Now look down to verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs a promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. Now Christ came in by an oath. The natural priesthood. You remember I preached it when I took the book of Hebrews and we went through the book of Hebrews. I showed you when we went through the book of Hebrews from the word of God that the natural priest never came in by an oath. But Christ came in by an oath. He swear by an oath. That means that he cannot take back his word.
Amen.
That means the word of God that's went forth, that God will have to stand by that word. That God will have to bring that word to pass. Because that word has come in by an oath. That God swear by himself. No greater, for there is no greater.
Great. Amen.
And he made this promise to Abraham.
Amen.
Now you could go back into Genesis and you could see the first prayer prayed. And you could see for Abraham prayed to God.
That's right.
And Abraham said, shall this particular one be ruler in my house? Because he had no seed. And the Lord said, no. But he said, from your seed. Abraham. And God started with an impossibility to do something for Abraham. But Abraham had faith and Abraham prayed.
Amen.
Now Abraham prayed according to his need. And God answered Abraham according to his very need. Do you realize tonight that we've been the people of God, that God can answer us right according to our need? That's the word of God.
Amen.
You see, when you start to summon in the Bible, all the old preachers used to know these things. And the brothers that preached a long time, they know what I'm talking about. There's the law of the first mention. So when you see when God starts to first mention something, you can follow that and it'll take you on a trail all the way through the Bible. But there's also the law of God's first doing. And when man has a need, and Abraham had, and we see in Genesis where it all started, Abraham comes to God with a need, and God answers Abraham, and then we come right up to our time in the New Testament, and God says, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe and you can have them.
Amen.
But it started with Abraham. Just you remember when a brother John McFadden was over here, he preached powerful well. He showed us before there was law, there was grace. Before law.
Yeah.
But the people wanted a law. But they already had grace.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham tells us, you see, he says that they should never have asked for law because they already had grace. But you see how grace has come back. Jesus Christ is grace. For by grace through faith are you saved. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Lack not of yourselves. You know, there's a man one time traveled through a certain place, some of us know about it, and he preached that we could save ourselves. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, you could not save yourself. You're lost without Christ. Absolutely. The Bible says, I was going to preach on this tonight, you know. This scripture has struck me all week long. I've been thinking about it all week. I was in a shoe shop. I needed a pair of shoes before I went away. I was in a shoe shop. And my wee lad was sitting beside me, young James. And a woman said, he's a good wee boy. And it come out of my mouth right in the shop. There's none good, no not one. It come out of my mouth and she looked at me. And I said it again. There's none good, no not one. And we James, or whatever the wee boy's name is, or girl, you will never need to learn to tell them the lie. We heard this morning, we're born with a sinful nature.
Right.
We don't need to be taught to sin. The Bible says we're sinners from birth.
Right.
Then we, our brother mentioned this morning, Jesus was born without sin.
Right. Yeah.
He knew no sin. He had no sin.
Right.
He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He condescended. He lowered himself. He came down and he went back up.
Glory. Amen.
That's the Lord.
Right.
I tell you, it's wonderful. God's only begotten Son.
Glory.
Sinless and blameless. Amen. And harmless. And undefiled. Separate from sinners, it says.
Amen. Amen.
He became us that we might become Him.
Amen. Glory.
He took our place. He paid the price for us. He redeemed us.
Glory.
At the cross.
Amen.
Thank God for redemption.
Glory.
That's the responsible God. The responsible God turned His back on His own Son on the cross. Do you realize that God left Jesus at Calvary?
Amen.
The Lord cried out, He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
And all the pangs of hell struck Christ. The Bible goes further. It says there was darkness for 3 hours.
Right.
Gross darkness. And the sun quit shining, and the moon quit shining, and all of darkness come on Christ at Calvary. And all the hell that was due you, and the hell that was due me, and mankind, Jesus took it at the cross.
Amen.
Aren't you glad He took it for you?
Amen.
We deserved it. We deserved hell. Do you realize that? You mightn't want to amen that. I don't care if you do or not. But don't you ever think you'll climb up any other way outside of the cross. You can't. The Bible says the same is a thief and a robber. The Bible says the one that came into the marriage supper, we heard about the marriage this morning. The Bible says there's somebody came in there with no garments on him, and they gripped him and they got a hold of him and they said, how did you come in here? You can't come in here without the garments.
Glory. Amen.
I want to tell you this evening in this meeting, there's only one place to get them garments. That's at the wounded side of Jesus. At the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Jeremiah says that God gave him new garments. He had filthy garments upon him, but God gave him new garments because he assumed responsibility.
Glory.
At Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God for the responsible God.
Glory.
I tell you, it's not us. You see, when we lay hands on the sick, if we believe it, God will do it.
Amen.
It's not us to perform it. It's God that keeps His word.
Glory.
It's not that it's our word, it's His word.
Amen.
That was the theme of all the meetings. Only believe.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Glory.
Only believe. God's a responsible God.
Amen.
Thank God tonight. We will turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12. Praise God.
Amen.
You say, brother, you're getting excited.
Praise
well, I'm not apologizing for
Amen.
It.
Glory.
I'm glad that the Spirit of God can move me to get excited.
Amen. Great.
You don't want a dead duck.
Amen. Glory.
And we're not ducks, we're eagles.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to tell you a story just now because it's come into my head. But we're reading Ezekiel at a moment. Listen to this. I remember my father telling me, and my brother John here, knowing Bobby, and some of these other brethren that's been up at the farm there. John, his home farm at Bellacross. And you know there near the broad field, there used to be a bit of a place that marvels it. And my father told us, you know, when we were young, he said he had a hen. And he slipped a batch of duck eggs under her once. And the wee hen hatched out all the wee ducks, but she was a hen. And he says, when the hen came down past the water hole, and he said his dad used to water the horses down there in the morning, he'd throw him up onto them and they'd run down and take a drink at the water hole. And when the wee hen went down to the water hole, she had wee ducks for her. They weren't hens, they were ducks. And the ducks went into the water, Nobody had to tell him to go into the water. Nobody had to learn them to go into the water. But because the nature of them was ducks to begin with, they went straight in the water. Then they went under the water. And when they went under the water, the hen went crazy. She was going up and down the side, and the wings flopping. She didn't understand what her wee hens were doing, stepping under the water for the word hens.
Glory. Amen.
And I tell you, it's not true of us. I tell you, when I got saved, and my friends came for me on a Sunday, and they came that we'd go over hunting the fields and different things to show them and doing all the badness of the day. I said, boys, I'm not going today. For I've got saved. I've found the Lord. The Lord's found me. Amen. Hallelujah.
You're right.
And I tell you, they looked at me, they didn't understand it.
Right.
They didn't understand it, you say. But something had happened. I realized there was an eagle.
Amen.
God was calling out of the barnyard.
Amen.
Thank God this evening. And God picks to call you. I tell you, He'll do it. God will do it. You know, the Bible says when the eagle stirreth his nest. And we hear Brother Bob preach this wonderful sermon. All about the eagle. And he said that if it's in Australia, the eagle puts kangaroo fur in the nest over the top of all the sticks to make it comfortable. If it's over in England, it takes rabbit's fur. But wherever the eagle is in the world, wherever there's eagles, they use whatever type of stuff they can get to make the nest comfortable. But there's a time comes when the mother eagle knows that those young eagles are getting big enough, that they need to start moving, and they need to start getting out of the nest. The eagle begins to stir the nest.
Right.
And the Bible says that the eagle stirs the nest.
Amen.
And I tell you, she takes all that fur out of that comfortable nest, and it's full of briars now and sticks. And they don't want to sit in it no more. It's uncomfortable in the nest. And they climb out under the rock.
Glory.
Thank God for the rock.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I might talk in tongues in a minute, but that's alright.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
I tell you, the Holy Ghost is great, isn't it?
Right.
Amen. I used to work with a wee woman, and she had a saying. She says, Tommy, it's better felt than felt.
Glory.
Over here in Ireland, that's a saying, it's better felt than felt. Praise God. We know we don't go by feelings, but it feels good.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. But I tell you, she brought them eagles good out on the rock. And Brother Bob says they spent all night on the rock. And the mother came to them the next morning. And they were so glad to see mother that they climbed on her back. And they climbed all over her because the rock was so cold, the rock was so uncomfortable, and they climbed straight on the mother's back. And when they climbed on her back, she went right up into the heavens.
Glory. Amen.
And she flew them right up into the heavens. And when she got them up high into the heavens, she turned over and she dropped every one of them. And they started falling. And those little eagles began to fall, and they began to scream out in terror. Can you imagine? They're falling. And just as they were thinking that they're going to perish, the mother eagle swept down below them and picked them up on her back. And swept them straight back to the rock. And Brother Bob says, now the rock was uncomfortable, but when they get back to it, it felt good. It sure felt good, he said, when they got back on the rock. It was better than the fall. But you know the story, and Brother Bob says, he said, I don't know why, but always on the third time. She does this every single morning. And they run in, jump on her back, but he says, always on the third time. When the mother eagle drops those little eaglets off, she doesn't fly under them. She flies above them. On the third time, she no longer flies under them, she flies above them. And she spreads out her wings, and she gives a screech, and she gives a screech, and the deep calls to the deep. Brother Branham says about that screech, he preaches about it.
Amen.
He says perhaps a Pentecostal instruction before leaving the nest.
Amen.
And they knew the screech of the mother eagle. And when she gave the screech out and she's flying above them, they didn't look down, they looked up.
Amen.
And as soon as they looked up, they see that mother had her wings out, and they put their wings out, and they began to fly, because they always were eagles.
Amen.
They never were chickens, they were always eagles. And he says, you can't fly with turkeys, cluck with chickens. Cluck with chickens, walk with turkeys, fly with eagles. You're a chicken or turkey. Or an eagle. Are you an eagle tonight?
Yeah.
We used to sing a wee song. Eagle, saints, arise. You've been set free. From out of the dove to the heavenlies. Eagle, saints, arise.
Amen.
You've been set free. You set free tonight?
Amen.
You're in bondage tonight? You set free tonight? Are you free to worship? Are you free to praise God? Are you ashamed to lift your hands in church? Are you ashamed to say, I love you, Jesus? I thank you, Lord, you're my Savior.
Amen.
Paul says, I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Of the gospel I preach, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I tell you, we saw the gospel demonstrated with the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the gospel demonstrated with Paul the Apostle. And again, in the 20th century, God again has demonstrated the gospel.
Amen.
With signs and wonders. God's done it again. Why did God do it again? Why? Had he not done it before? He had done it before. He had done it before, but why did he do it again? Because people forget. That's part of it now. Why did he do it? Because the Lord wanted our attention. Because he wanted to tell us we're eagles, not chickens. Amen?
Amen.
You're an eagle.
Glory.
Are you ready to take a flight tonight? I'm not talking about flying, you know, here or there. I'm talking about going home to be with the Lord. When Jesus Christ comes for us, we're going.
Amen.
We saw the Lord's appearing, but we're looking for the physical return of the Lord.
Amen.
We've seen a super sign.
Yes.
We know that.
Right.
God has done a super sign. God has demonstrated again.
Amen.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. God's done it.
Amen.
I was reading a thing the other day, and there's people on there, and they have no idea about anything concerning the coming of the Lord. Jesus said, when you see the fig trees put in, the fig tree, then he says, and the other trees. The fig tree is Israel. And Israel became a nation in 1946. And the other countries of the world have been restored back to their own nationality and their own nation. And Jesus tells us this is a sign. What's he saying? He said it's now at the door. If somebody is at the door, they're almost in.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight? If they're at the door, they're here.
Yes.
Are you getting it? That if they're at that door, they're here. That's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. When you see these things, look up.
Yes.
For your attention draw. We're in the season. In the time period. If there's such a thing. You know what I'm saying? Of the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
What are people ought to be? And God has assumed full and total responsibility. All these things that God's done, all that God has sent has been for a reason. So that he would have a people that's ready for the rapture catching away.
Amen.
You know what part of it is? When Jesus says, two shall be in the field grinding, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Two of them in the bed, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Jesus says there were 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And we know the story, he said the wise had oil. Now you cannot divorce the oil from being the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Oil in the Bible always represents the Holy Ghost. How many believe that?
Amen.
Now when you get the Holy Ghost, it'll do something. Because John 14 says it well. Jesus says the anointing which you have received that comes with the Holy Ghost shall show you all things. You'll know where you're at. You'll know where you're at. You'll be fit to identify who it was that appeared. Are you hearing me tonight? The Holy Spirit that's in you will not deny Himself. You will not deny events that God's brought to pass if you have the Holy Spirit. You won't deny them. But you need the Holy Spirit to go.
Amen.
That's the oil. We need to have our lamps trimmed and burning and filled.
Amen.
Our lamps trimmed and burning and filled. And Brother Charlie mentioned it this morning. He said when the squeeze comes, and it's coming, it's not in the way it's coming. You know, he says in one place they'll close your eyes. They'll actually close you down. They'll persecute the real believers so much they'll close you down. Wherever you're meeting, they'll close you down. But he says, you watch then how God will work. He says, what you see in my ministry will be nothing to what will take place then.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said it. Now you can't say, I believe Brother Branham to be a prophet in one part and then deny the other part. Amen. And I believe that something's got to happen before we go. God's going to do something. And some things God lets happen to bring us closer to Him. God permits it. God permits it so that we've come closer. Not that we work till it, but God works it in a way that we come closer to Him, for He's the responsible God. Don't forget that. He's in control. The way this world is tonight, people say God's lost control. God has never lost control. God is in absolute control. He knows everything that's happening. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior already. Before there was sickness, there was a Savior already. It was all in God. In the mind of God, we heard from the foundation of the world. There's attributes in God for all these things. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord.
Amen.
God can speak it, and God can do it. Now how many believe God has shown us an evidence? God has done it in these last days. God has shown us that He can do it.
Amen.
He's shown us. Now that's good, but don't forget Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever.
Amen.
He's still the same tonight.
Great.
If the Lord Jesus Christ ever healed, He'd still heal. If He ever saved, He'd still save.
Amen.
He remains the same. He goes further, says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. How long will the gospel last for? You know, Clarence Larkin preached and he said the gospel lasts for a time and then the message changes to Israel. The Bible doesn't say that. Brother Branham corrected Clarence Larkin. How many knows that? He said that Clarkin was a dispensationalist, but he says that Clarkin did not believe in the apostolic succession. He says he was wrong there. Because Brother Branham believed we're still in the apostolic age. How many knows that? He believed that it's a restoration of all things. He said that it would turn our hearts back to the apostolic faith. How many believes the Spirit of Elijah does that? The Revelation says this. Revelation calls the gospel the everlasting gospel. Then a prophet comes along and the prophet of God says that the Jews will receive the same Pentecostal message we received. Now he's not talking about a denomination. He's talking about the Holy Ghost, the real message. they will receive the same message we received. Where did the church begin? Pentecost. How many believe that? The church began at the day of Pentecost. How many know that's the Bible? And you know that the book of Acts says all that Jesus began was to be continued. Then Brother Branham says this. It's a powerful statement. He's referring to Peter. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, the Catholics say, Peter's the rock. And the Protestants say, Christ's the rock. And Brother Branham said, they're both wrong. The rock is the revelation of who he is. It's a revelation of who he is. Knowing who he is. And he said, the revelation the church began on is the revelation she ends on. And in the church's book, he says this is, he says, the greatest revelation of all, is that God never changes.
Amen.
Ain't that simple, but it's wonderful. Ain't that the truth? God assumes total responsibility. He's in control tonight, brother. He's in control, sister. Nothing's going to miss. I was saying to my wife this morning, we know that God's predestined us, as a brother preached. But you'll still worry over your son and your daughter, won't you? I do. Because you see, God knows, but we don't know. And God uses us to intercede. God uses us to preach the gospel. We are God's hands and feet. Do you know that?
Right. Amen.
He uses a fivefold ministry to reach people.
Amen.
That's why he breathed on the disciples and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Freely you receive, freely give.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
And then in Revelation he said it's an everlasting gospel.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? He never changes his mind about his word.
Amen.
God doesn't change his word. You're not saved today different than you were saved 50 years ago. You can't be.
Right.
The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We are saved the same way everybody was saved before.
Amen.
By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
you're saved. Now I tell people all the time, I say it's like anything in their life, how far do you want to go with it? Now you can go further. You can be saved and stuck. Or you can get saved and then you can want more. And you can come the whole way through and receive the Holy Spirit and receive the fullness of the Word of God.
Amen.
Come the whole way through. And God is coming for a people that's ready. The bride prepared herself. Do you know that? How many know the bride prepared herself? The bride prepared herself. When I married Sister Sharon, I never went back to Brother Charlie and Sister Sandra's house and said to them, now, you know, can I have a few minutes here and I'll dress Sharon. I'll get her ready for the wedding. No, that never happened. Now don't misunderstand me tonight. I know we're dressed in his righteousness. I know all them things. But she prepared herself. And there's another thing as well. Not only did she prepare herself, but when we stood at the front, she had to say yes. Do you ever see them clips for a boy's at the front? And she says no, and the next thing it's all called that, and it's all cancelled. She had to say, yes, I do. And there was a time in our lives when we said, Lord, I do.
Amen.
Praise God. Have you a time, you know what the prophet called that time? You can look it up if you've got the message. You can get it on anywhere at all. He called it the tie post. Tie post. And he said, you have a tie post. Well, you could go right back to where you met God. Here's what he said. It's wonderful, you know, really. He said, when the devil gives you a hard time, When you have a difficult week, when you have a type of a week that you don't feel saved or look saved, you can go back to that time in your experience when you know you met God.
Amen.
And you can say, I have a typos right there. You remember the man, he had all the problems, and I'm going to have to close. He had all the problems, and he came to Brother Branham. They brought him to Brother Branham, and as a brother Charlie said, God's prophet had such a gift. He could go back in your life 20 years, go forward. God done that. I can't do that, and you can't do it. It's sovereignly given by God. He says, I have nothing to do with it. I was only there when he came.
Amen.
That's what he said. It's God. But when that man came in there, and that man couldn't get peace, and powerful depression, and suicidal, and everything wrong with him. And he came in there, and they were all trying to get him saved. All the preachers were trying to get this fellow saved. Brother Branham didn't work like that. God gave him a vision. And he said, sir, I see you back there. That you read a little gospel tract. And you prayed the prayer.
Yes.
At the end of that tract, a simple prayer to receive Christ.
Yes.
And he says, you got it then.
Amen.
How simple is that? He says, that's when you got it. And he says, you might have left him, but he never left you.
Amen.
Now he says, when you this morning come back with to that place, to where you met the Lord, and walk on again.
Glory.
And he says, I will, brother, and all those problems finished. And he came right back to the Lord. But he took him to that place. And I tell you, a wee boy or a girl that's really sincere, and they receive Christ, they're saved. They are saved. Now how far they're going to go with it, only God knows that. But they're saved. And where are they going to come up? In what group? That's the Lord's business. But they're saved.
Amen.
And I tell you, I thought it was wonderful they could take him right back to that track. And he said, you got it then. Do you know who you got it?
Amen.
You know who you got it?
You're right.
You know, if you talk to the Free Presbyterians, I used to go there as a boy, and I thank the Lord for the Bible teaching and the way of salvation, but they claimed me. You know, now understand what I'm saying. I prayed in a service pack when I was just a boy, and there were meetings. And they said, you could save in our meetings. Then as I got older and more of an age of an understanding, I went along to the brethren. And I heard a man preach for a week, and I come under tremendous conviction. I was about 14 or 15 years old, and I prayed in the front of a yellow Mercedes car, and I asked the Lord to save me. And I believe I could save, and I could save there. So I was saved back when I was going to the free priest, and I was saved when I went to the brethren. But I backslid. And I went into the world. Now just 5 minutes and I'm closing. I want to tell you this evening. I was away from God. You wouldn't have knew I was saved. I didn't look saved. I didn't act saved. None of that. But I prayed on several occasions to get saved. And I would have said I get saved then. But one night, I was involved in a very bad car crash. A fast car crash. The car was doing at least 100 miles an hour. Now I'm going back over 20 years ago. I know 100 miles an hour is nothing for a car now, but you go back 30 years and it's 100 miles an hour is a brave speed. It's nothing today. But I want you to understand, cars 30 years ago didn't have the brakes and the conditions that cars have today. They didn't have them. A wee car crash, and that car flipped and it rolled into this garden, and I was knocked unconscious, and I heard the fellow with me started to call me. I was knocked unconscious. I came round. All the doors were jammed, the windows were jammed, and we couldn't get out, and I kicked the windows out of that car. I don't even know how I got. If you try to kick a window out of a car, it's hard to do it. But I kicked the windows out and got out, and blood was running down my face. Now my mom can testify this is absolutely the truth. I had a yellow jumper on. I'll never forget this. My mother dreamed just before that, and she woke up screaming. And she said, Billy Tommy's dead. I've seen him with blood all over his yellow jumper, he's dead. And my dad said, we can't receive that. We cannot accept that. And that night I had a massive crash. But I want to tell you that should I never go out this meeting tonight, this is absolutely the truth. I come out of that car, I had drink on board, the fellow with me had drink on board, and we were laughing and giggling, and I come out, and I come onto the road, and suddenly, the presence of Almighty God come over my body. And just like a cloud, it come right down over me, like the anointing. But I didn't know then any doctrinal, you know. But the presence of God came down over me and a voice spoke to me. And here's what the voice said. The voice said, if my hand wasn't upon you, you'd be dead. That's what the voice said. And I want to tell you this evening, and I want you to listen to this carefully. Because you can go and search it, but Brother Branham says in one place, he says if a person that's born again backslides and they don't come back, God can tick them. God can tick them. He said God will not permit that to go on beyond a certain point. God will tick them away. And God woke me later, the same presence again. And I never knew the scripture, but the voice said to me, Isaiah 1 verse 18. Amen. Verse 19. And I rose out of the bed, opened the Bible, and the word of God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. But hear the next verse. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye'll be cut off suddenly. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I believe God gave me an ultimatum. I believe that. I believe right then God called me to preach. And I believe God called me and God said to me, if you don't do it, you're going. Now you mightn't believe that, that's all right. But I believe it. And our Philip knows, as far as I come, when they're not here tonight, they're gone. I went to one man's house. I'll never forget it. When I tried to tell him, I got saved and got right with God, and he laughed at me. He mocked me. But he's not here. There's another big fella. It's a bit like the story Charlie told this morning. This fella you thought would have took it, but he didn't. But there's another fella, he was rough and ready. And he came to the Elam church one night, and we were in a prayer meeting. And he, people mightn't even know this. He never came through the doors of that prayer meeting. He stood out in the hall. And we were praying in that meeting. It might have been the youth meeting, I can't remember. But he's a big fella from Porty Down, a fella like it. Billy like it. But he was a wild man. And when we finished and I come out into the hall, he was in the hall crying. And he said to me, Tommy, I can't believe it that you've got saved. He said, it's powerful that you've got saved. And he believed it. But you'd never picked him, but God picked him. There's people out there tonight that me and you would never pick. But the Lord loves them. And the Lord can reach them. And I want to encourage you tonight, never give in. Never give in on your loved one. Never give in.
Right.
Brother Mark, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying it, but our brother Mark prayed for a long time for his dad to get saved. But Keith got saved.
Amen.
He got saved.
Amen.
Praise God, he got saved.
Amen.
Thank God he got it. And I tell you, he's in the glory of the night.
Amen.
And all of us could have ones out there tonight. And they're maybe not here. We'd want them here. But don't give in.
Amen.
Don't give in. God can do it. And you know God can speak to somebody himself. He's a responsible God. If God could speak to me, he can speak to anybody.
Amen.
I tell you, Jack Cole said that God anointed a rooster. And it's crowed three times when Peter repented. We know in the Bible that God anointed a donkey. And it spoke to the man.
He said, I'm your donkey. Why are you beating me? There's an angel in the way. But the man never saw it.
Amen.
And many times the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord, but we don't see it. But the angel could be in the way. God's in control tonight. The responsible God. Don't you be worrying tonight about that young man or that young woman. God's in control. Your part's to live the life. Don't preach me a sermon. He says, live me a sermon.
Amen.
Live me a sermon.
Live
me a sermon. A live sermon's far better than a preached sermon.
May the Lord help every one of us to live a sermon. Amen. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. I want us to close our eyes for a moment. And the Lord good. While you're here this evening and sincere, I want you to be honest, not with me, but before Almighty God. Have you a time post?
Amen.
Have you a place for sure that you know you met with God?
Amen.
Can you say, there was a time in my life, not just that you're guessing, not just that, you know, you're presuming, but there's a time in your life when you met with the Lord.
Amen.
You're not sure the night you call on the Lord right here. Right for you are you be sincere and call on the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You that saved here tonight and you need a touch from God, I want you to lift your hand up. Every eye's closed. You need a touch from the Lord tonight. Now listen to me. If you're suffering in your back or you have a headache or a pain in your body, place your hand wherever your problem is. Put your hand on it. I want you to believe in the one reverence. The same in this week, use your ones in the back. Will it? I want you to be absolutely reverent. Don't ever let the things of God become familiar.
Amen.
God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ask or even think. If you have a problem tonight, you put your hand, you believe God, that thing's going to get better. Heavenly Father, we know that your word says that two or three of us will gather you in the midst. And it says if two of us agree touching anything, we can have it.
Hallelujah.
Father, this is your word.
Glory.
Lord, when your prophet preached, so many times he said, Lord, if I have preached the truth, you come on the scene and you confirm it, Lord. Father, I pray this evening, if the truth has been preached, and knowing that you're the same yesterday and today and forever, then confirm your word again tonight.
Amen.
Father, confirm your word to that brother, to that sister.
Amen.
That they'll receive a healing touch. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let the power of God come on your people. Let every yoke be broken. And may they be healed. And may they be well. Lord, I ask for that sister tonight to stress out. I rebuke fear and I rebuke stress. And I rebuke every blood condition in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I ask, Lord, you'll bring strength upon her. The peace of God upon her.
Hallelujah.
And rest upon her. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, where is the God of Elijah?
Amen.
We believe you're still the same.
Thank you, Jesus.
We believe you're still alive.
Great.
We believe you've never changed.
Amen.
Lord, we believe we've heard a message that taught us to believe you. That taught us to expect the unexpected, the supernatural move of God. We believe it tonight, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We know we're living in the last days at the end times. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll have your way in this house tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name. Lord, if there's somebody in this room that's never had a tie post,
yes.
Oh God, may you deal with them tonight.
Yes.
May the Holy Spirit move on them and bring them to that spot,
yes,
where they'll have an encounter with a supernatural being, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Supernatural God with supernatural ability and supernatural authority.
Right. Yeah.
That could swear by no greater. So he swear by himself.
Amen.
That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have,
yeah,
as an anchor of the soul, which maketh steadfast and sure.
Yeah.
Entered into that within the veil.
Yes.
Lord, your flesh was ripped open, and the way was made back to God at Calvary.
Hallelujah.
The bells are ringing in glory.
Amen.
And there's a way made tonight through the rent veil.
Yes.
Way into the presence of God. Father, this evening grant your answer prayer.
Amen.
Lord, for all that's near and dear in our hearts this evening, for the wife, that you'll touch her. For the husband, you'll touch him. Lord, for the young man and the young woman, we ask for that token that we heard and talked about this morning, that it'll go and be on them.
Hallelujah.
We send the Holy Ghost upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
we say he'll move them and speak to them.
Glory.
And draw them.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name. Father, grant it tonight. Bless your people.
Yeah.
Father, we ask that you'll bless our goings out.
Amen.
And our comings in. We acknowledge you in all our ways and know that you will direct our path, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I believe something's happened in here tonight.
Amen.
God's done something. You believe that?
Glory. Amen.
You know, I've been thinking for a few weeks, what would happen if God spoke to the man and gave him radical faith?
Amen.
Now, I'm serious about this. I was thinking about this. I was even dreaming about it. What I mean by that is, if somebody came in with a pair of crutches, that fellow wouldn't pray for them. They'd break the crutches and throw them out the door.
Amen.
And take it up and walk.
Glory.
What would happen? We're not in an age to choose for that. But Jacko, Wigglesworth and them men, they did things like that. They broke people's crutches up and they smashed them. They smashed wheelchairs.
Amen.
Wigglesworth even punched people and rebuked demons. That's radical faith. We need to get back to that. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
God can still do that, you know.
Grace.
The Lord bless every one of you. God bless you. The brother Mark comes. God bless you.
Amen. Now, say that one before we close. The comforter of response. Spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian son proclaim the joyful sound.
Hallelujah.
The Comforter has come.